All right, everyone. We are now joined by Martin Truex Jr., driver of the number 19 Auto Owners Insurance Toyota, who is the two-time defending champion or race winner here at Kentucky Speedway. We will open up to questions. Please raise your hand, and we will get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start in the back, work our way up through that side. They're coming to you, Matt, from your right.
Matt Corson, kickingthetires.net. Martin, can you just talk about your mindset coming into this weekend, having led over 300 laps in the last two races here?
Definitely a lot on our mind coming here just because of, you know, this year and what it's been all about. It's so different. You know, I think, you know, think back to the last couple of years, and we've really been able to kind of come in here with the same strategy, mindset, set up, kind of, you know, look for the same things throughout the weekend. You know, now with the new cars this year and PJ1 on the track, all those things, different tires. I mean, it's quite a bit different. So we didn't have a great day of practice, but hopefully we'll make some good changes for the race. And you know, it's tough these days when you come with a new package, you don't get a lot of practice. So we were off quite a bit to start and playing a little bit of catch up right now.
We'll go to Dustin, Kelly, and then Mark.
Dustin Albino, front stretch. Martin, you've had a good year, but what's the biggest thing you want to work on leading into the playoffs?
You know, I think just being a little bit more consistent. You know, it seems like we have a good race, or we win, then we have a bad one, then we win, and we have a bad one. So, you know, you certainly, you know, approaching the playoffs, you want to be consistently running up front, you know, be able to be fast and perform well at each different kind of racetrack. So, you know, the mile and a halfs have been a little bit of a you know, kind of a puzzle for us, I guess. You know, again, being so different than last year, we've hit it a few times, we've missed it a few times. So hopefully just find a little bit more consistency in what we're doing and show up to the racetrack a little bit better.
Go to Kelly. Right here.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Martin, I'm going to go in a slightly different direction here. So about a month ago, a couple weeks ago, we had to talk again of trying to make an IndyCar and maybe a NASCAR Cup race happen on the same weekend, doubleheader type thing. Is that something you would be interested in seeing happen, and what track would you think would be the best for that?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of people in charge of making things like that happen. I think it'd be fun. You know, I certainly love to watch racing in general, and, you know, I watch every IndyCar race I get a chance to, so it'd be cool to be somewhere on the same weekend and kind of get a little bit closer look at how they do things. I've never actually been to one of their races. So it'd be neat, I think, to hang around and check it out. But yeah, as far as making that happen, I have absolutely nothing to do with that. So we'll see what happens there.
We're going to go in the back left corner to Mark, and then we'll be up here to Gary.
Mark Garrow, PRN. Martin, a couple questions. First one, your thoughts on not only the aggressive blocking, you're talking, you know, Brad got this, everybody talking about blocking with what he did in practice at Daytona, but do you feel like the level of blocking is something like you've never seen before, even on mile-and-a-half tracks? We saw even at, you know, with this, the package we'll see at New Hampshire last week, we've seen some big-time blocking, it seems, with every package this year. Is that something on the rise, or what do you think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely on the rise. It's a big part of this year and this package. And, you know, if a guy behind you is faster than you and you know it, you just – and some guys are better at it than others or more aggressive with it than others, but you know, you're just trying to steal that air from the car behind you. And you know, the guy behind you, you know, his hands are tied when you block, and you know, especially in the corners, you know, on corner entry, if you make a move to, you know, take the air off the guy behind you, you know, there's not really a whole lot he can do about it. So a lot of it, it's about anticipation and trying to find clean air. And you know, obviously on tracks with multiple grooves, it makes it a little bit easier, but it's a huge challenge, and there's no question blocking has become more popular.
How do you feel about that, just from the way you grew up racing and your style?
I don't like it very much, but it's part of what we do now. So you know, you got to kind of just figure it out, and you know, you kind of just you know, try to do all you can to keep the air off the guy behind you. You know, I don't know. It just depends. I mean, I think at certain tracks it's different than other places. And, you know, there's been times where, you know, I know a guy behind me is way faster and I don't even do that. I just let him go because it's kind of the way I've always raced. So it's been interesting to try to figure it all out this year. And by no means I would say I have it figured out, but it's been a challenge.
One other question about New Hampshire next week and the way that track now you use it. how much trust do you have to have for when you go into one? You're, a lot of times, if you're leading, you're going to give the guy the bottom because you feel you can get off the corner, get off two a little bit better on the high side. Just how much trust do you have to have there?
I guess it depends on, you know, who it is and what at what point in the race you're at. You know, if you're coming down to the final and, you know, the end of the race, it's pretty makes you a little bit nervous giving somebody the bottom, you know, because you figure they're just going to run in there and drive this out of you. So it's become a completely different race the last, you know, 2 years since we started using the PJ1. And we'll have to see when we get there next week just how wide that stuff is and how much they're going to put down to see what the racing's going to be like.
Going to come up front here to Gary.
Gary Graves, Associated Press. In light of what you were saying about mile and a half and consistency, how can your success here at Kentucky help toward that end? And what can you take from this track that can help you down the line at you know, at intermediate tracks?
Yeah, I think you know, they're all so different, but I would say that if we could learn something here, we could certainly apply to Texas. You know, I would say that Kentucky and Texas now with having one flat end of the racetrack and one high banked end is they could be pretty similar, and we weren't that good at Texas, so we could certainly use a little bit of help in that department going there, and it'll be a playoff race, you know, towards the end of the season, so it'll be an important one. Hopefully we can figure something out here that'll help us.
Yeah. As a follow-up, I mean, looking back at last year, how dominant you were, do you, as a driver, do you kind of welcome the potential for another challenge, you know, coming back here to defend the race, and would you be surprised by that?
I always welcome new challenges. I think that's one of the most unique parts about our sport and what we do as drivers and teams is, you know, this stuff is always changing. You know, you could win four or five races in a row or whatever, and they, you know, you go to a different racetrack and you got a new challenge. You know, they change the tires all the time. The rules of the cars are changing all the time. I mean, I would say that all the top drivers are, you know, consistently working on how they drive the cars and how do they do better? How can you be better? Because everybody's doing that. So it's a huge challenge to you know, try to stay near the top of this sport, and that's part of what makes it fun.
We're going to go to Bob and then Chris.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Alex Bowman's first win a couple weeks ago kind of remind me a little bit of yours in the sense of kind of been around for a couple years, kind of Dale Jr.'s kind of like appointed guy, you know, a lot of friends there, but what does that a win like that? What does that first win allow maybe a driver for the psyche and just like kind of being like proving who they are and establishing who they are?
Yeah, I think it's huge to get that first one out of the way, and you know, you just kind of you kind of feel like you belong. You know, you kind of feel like a lot of pressure comes off, and you know, you kind of before that first win, you always have questions, right? Like, when is it going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? You know, what do I got to do? What is it going to feel like? And so when you get that first one, all those questions are answered and a lot of the pressure comes off and you can just, you know, go about your job a little bit easier, I'd say.
Go to Chris.
Chris Knight, GetChance.com. Martin, the last three races and five of the last eight races have been won from the front row would indicate that qualifying is really important. Is it really that critical?
Well, I hope not, because I don't think we're going to qualify too good tonight, but I really don't know. I think as we figure this package out and as we've run it at all these tracks this year, I feel like things have changed so much. Early in the year, I feel like all the guys that ran good qualified bad, you know, and now guys are figuring out ways to have enough speed in qualifying to start up front and be able to have good enough handling throughout the race to stay up there. And that's been a big challenge for us is how do we get both? You know, we've had good handling cars at a lot of racetracks, but not a lot of speed. And we've been able to take advantage of good handling. So, you know, I don't know. I think that in a perfect world, you'd want to start up front because you get a good pit stall and you don't have to worry about traffic and getting stuck, you know, trying to fight track position throughout that first stage. So I think guys are figuring it out for sure. And that's something that we are consistently working on and constantly working on. We haven't, as the 19 car, we haven't been able to figure it out quite yet.
You go to the far left side and then go to Steve.
Joe Dademan with Fox 19 now in Cincinnati. Paul, your car, the way it's running today, notwithstanding, when you do come back to a track that you've won 2 years in a row, do you have good vibes, good memories of coming back here?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you always do. it's always nice to go to a track you have confidence at and you feel good about, but then you show up and it's always like, you know, like today we showed up and was like, oh man, this isn't too good. So you're always reminded of how difficult this is, what we do, and certainly today was one of those days.
Go to Steve.
Steve Schweitzer, the Lasco Press. Over here, Martin, this side.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, sorry.
The track's been treated pretty aggressively with the traction compound. Is that a plus, a minus? How do you feel about it?
I think it's too early to tell. I really don't know. Based on watching the truck race, it looked it looked like in 3 and 4 there were some options. 1 and 2, I think, is just got so much banking and so much more speed that, you know, running higher is just a longer way around. And we're already using so much throttle through the corners that you just lose time. So it kind of felt that way again today for us. It kind of felt similar to what we've seen with the trucks last night. It'll be interesting to see how much it changes at nighttime, you know. And, is it gonna grip up a lot, or what's going to happen there? Is the bottom going to be better than it was today? So still a lot of questions. I would say in general, I didn't think the PJ1 felt as sticky as I expected it to be. I expected it would be, you know, really no chance at all of running the bottom and everybody would be in the sticky stuff, but it seemed like there was a mixed bag, so that's always a good thing, I think.
We're going to come to the far right in the front and go to Claire.
Claire Belang, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Justin Haley came in after his first practice and tore his car up as he came into the garage and just ripped the splitter in the nose, and he said that the surface of the track was not even, or there was a grate or something, right? Have you ever had that happen? Because some of the other drivers said that they had bad experiences and they learned from it, right? If that you come barreling into the garage and it's not what you expect?
I've never had a big incident like that where something got tore up, but I've seen cars crash in the garage area before, you know, and I actually was involved in a crash in a garage area years ago in Chicago. So, you just never know. You got to always be paying attention to everything. And some places the infield has, you know, as you mentioned, drain holes and all kinds of weird stuff can happen. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Thank you.
Go here in the middle.
Jeremy Rail, Fox 19 now in Cincinnati. Martin, it seems like since the repave in 2016, you've had a lot of success here, obviously. But some guys say that the tracks don't need character because of the repave. So where do you fall in the mix on that? And is there a connection to the repave and you winning the last two cup races here?
You know, again, I think we just found a package and a feel that I liked and ran with it, you know, and the cars were similar for, you know, all those years, 16, since they repaved it, really, you know, low downforce and the things you had to do to get around here fast didn't really change. And so, we were able to just kind of run with that momentum and that kind of mindset or that strategy of setting our cars up and things. I think the track has plenty of character. The fact that both ends are so different, it's getting bumpy again. All those things make it a challenge. And everybody talks about turn three here, just how difficult it is. I mean, I feel like you're going, you know, you come off a 2 and you feel like you're going 180 and you get to 3 and it looks like a parking lot you're driving into. It's just dead flat and there's, you know, the track's wide, but you just feel like you're going straight for the fence through the middle on the exit. So it's got plenty of character and it's a really tricky place.